Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Play clock winding down. Tua on fourth down. Pressure coming. Tua in trouble. Down he goes. Milton Williams. The big free agent ticket in the offseason seals the game for the Patriots.
Mike Vrabel will have his first win as head coach of the New England Patriots, and trouble for Miami and Mike McDaniel. What a game. What a game. Back and forth we go, and in the end, New England has its first win in Miami since 2019.
So on the one hand, Keith, they never win in Miami. Rarely win in Miami.
Not with Vrabel.
They pull out the victory there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And you go, all right, I didn't expect that before the year, just like I didn't expect them to lose to the Raiders. Drake May was excellent yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson, excellent yesterday. Gibson, big kickoff return. There's some things to hang your hat on in the game yesterday. But you look up, and it's the second week in a row that they have allowed what I would consider a mediocre quarterback, not a bad quarterback, but a mediocre quarterback, Geno Smith last week, Tua yesterday, to shred them. The defense continues to give up explosive plays. That's a defense, by the way, that yesterday was handed a 12-0 lead. Should have been 14-0, but they were handed an early lead to play from in front. They couldn't protect that lead. They wound up giving it up before the Patriots pulled out the victory yesterday. So despite the win, and we spent a lot of time crediting May and crediting their resiliency and their ability to take a punch and win a street fight, and they're not front runners and all these things, what's wrong with the defense?
Yeah, the defense couldn't tackle, couldn't like make stops when they needed to. I think not having Christian Gonzalez is like the obvious thing to point to. Like in this game in particular, you needed him because of the receivers. But even turns out week one, you needed him more than we thought. They've given up almost 700 passing yards. And I think the pass rush has been all right, right? They've gotten home. They've gotten some sacks. Friend of the show, the Milkman, he got a couple of them.
Yep.
So they've been able to get after the quarterback a little bit, but
they got some really big ones late. In their defense, yeah, they got some big ones late. Milkman with the walk-off-ish.
But they haven't really covered Spillane all
had
that
one.
Well.
Landry had one. No, they've covered.
They can't cover, and then they can't really tackle all that well. So those would be the two that really kind of jump out to you. But also, we mentioned during what happened that Joe Burrow got hurt. If you look at the rest of the Patriots' schedule, they only play three good quarterbacks all season. Now, they play one of them twice.
Yeah.
So there's a little semantics. It's four games. It's two Josh Allen games, a Lamar Jackson game, and a Baker Mayfield game.
Okay, so they go.
They don't play any other good quarterbacks. You could argue Geno Smith, fine. Tua, fine. But they don't play good quarterbacks.
Okay.
Three.
They go Rodgers.
Not good anymore.
Maybe Bryce Young by week. I think he'll have his job by week four.
Never
was
good.
I like him. Two against Josh Allen. The first is on October 5th on Sunday Night Football. Then they get what should be Spencer Rattler.
Oh, thanks.
Cam Ward.
Rookie, but we'll see. Maybe a little bit better by week seven, but no.
Maybe Joe Flacco with Cleveland.
Whatever,
maybe
Cleveland.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. Maybe Shadur. Michael Penis Jr., Atlanta, nope. November 2nd.
Nope.
Baker.
Yep, Baker's good.
Okay. Justin Fields.
I don't know if he survives to week 11. He didn't survive week two.
It will be Jake Browning at Cincy. Who knows with New York? Probably Jackson Dart.
Probably Dart, who looked good against you in the preseason when you were playing nobody except for Duggar.
Then you get Allen again, Lamar, Fields, Tua.
Right?
So yeah, that's a lot
of three good quarterbacks all season. So when you're
like, a lot of mediocre to bad quarterbacks, but you've been shredded by two mediocre quarterbacks.
100%. So they gotta get better on that. But I think there's also like the, well, if it looks like this against these guys, what's it gonna look like against the other? Well, they don't really play too many of the others. Obviously Josh Allen's in the division. We've already sort of given the division to the Bills. Right? It's not even a fight. You went into the year hoping for a wild card spot. They're 2-0. They're probably going to run away and hide with the division. That's fine. But everybody else is very beatable. And then it goes down to, all right, when does Gonzalez show back up? Because that really has been, you know, the biggest weakness thus far. And it should be. You take overall not the most talented team in the league. The one unanimous best player is not there for 2 weeks. Other guys like Alex Austin have to kind of step up. Carlton Davis has been both good and bad. Carlton Davis has been...
He was bad in the Raiders game. I saw the numbers for him yesterday. He wasn't targeted often. They went away from that matchup, but he didn't give up anything yesterday.
No. He helped the pick in the first week.
Oh, that's true.
He giveth any ticket.
He also mistimed the jump on 3rd and 20.
Yeah.
But okay. Text line says, and this is Guy from the 207. I'm sorry. Twitch chat says, one difference is the defense made the stop at the end, contrary to the last few years. So did they really make the stop yesterday?
They didn't score. Yeah, I would say. I mean, the last two plays of the game, they got to him.
Achane stepped out of bounds.
Yeah,
the Dolphins had back-to-back penalties to put them instead of 1st and 10 to a 1st and 20.
Yeah.
So they made
the
stop.
Advantage.
They made the stop after that, but the Dolphins gave them a lot to take advantage of. But you're right. At least this team was good enough to take advantage of those boneheaded mistakes last year. Probably wouldn't have been.
Well, watching Achane score before they called it back and said he stepped out of bounds, you're like, oh my God, this is like last year. This is like the year before where whether it's Drake May or Bailey Zappi or somebody like gets you a lead and then it's gone. So, no, I guess in that sense, maybe a low bar, but whatever. They stepped over it.
So, Mike Vrabel spoke earlier today, not just with the Greg Hill Show, but also with the assembled media. This was less than 2 hours ago. He gave an answer about Terrell Williams where he said, Terrell Williams will be around this week and involved, but I don't know that it sounds like he's going to be super close to back on as a coordinator calling plays.
I was alarmed last week. I was on our way home listening to WEEI Afternoons. They started their coordinator
sick
series.
Sick brag, bro.
No doubt. I was in my car, which I own.
Yeah.
Ooh, and, nice. Actually needs a lot of maintenance. But anyway, so I was listening to WEEI Afternoons talking to Josh McDaniels, and they asked him about Terrell Williams. And I don't know if he meant it this way, but he said thoughts and prayers. And anytime you say that, you're like, oh, man. Now, it was a slightly more positive update today from Vrabel, but I have no idea what to expect for his his health, most important, but just like how involved with the team is he going
to
be?
Yeah, and, you know, we want him to take care of himself, obviously. That's the number one thing. But now what do they do in his stead? We both wanted Vrabel to call plays. He did not.
No.
Zach Kerr, I wouldn't say cleaned up a ton in the game compared to week one.
Yeah, but some of it, too, is like, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't say they necessarily did.
Look any different.
But also, a lot of the missed tackles, it's like, if you just tackle the guys.
Should be correctable.
Yeah, you're like, you're right there. So I feel like you might have called the right thing, and then the guy breaks the tackle and squirts loose. It's like, I don't know how much more you want him to coach that or you know, call something different.
Yeah, still a lot of explosive plays. Yeah. Still a lot of big plays. And again, what I would say is another mediocre quarterback. Who shredded you? So I'd like to see Vrabel call plays. My sense is they won. They'll do the same thing again next week. But if they keep getting shredded, at some point, he's going to have to do that on defense. I know it's not ideal, but losing your defensive coordinator to a couple of different health scares, or at least a health scare a couple of different times, is not ideal. So Vrabel may have to do that. He also had an exchange. I believe this is how he started the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't heard it yet. Thumbs up, Nick. I believe this is how the press conference started today with questions about Christian Gonzalez. Let's hear how that went.
Morning. You said there was a chance that we would see Christian Gonzalez and perhaps he could play. Can you quantify that?
I don't know if I said that there was a chance, you know, the chance, right? That so.
Yeah, can you, is it a slim
chance?
It is.
It's a chance. It's a chance that a lot of things could happen. And it's Monday, and we'll figure out how he progresses along the week, and we'll see what he can do, and have him do what he can do.
Was there progression last week?
Continuing to improve, working hard, and you know, trying to get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
Get back. Does not sound like, ooh.
Oh, get back.
Oh, yeah, that was
taking a shot at Gonzalez.
That was a shot at get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. There's a chance. That's right. There's a chance pretty much anything can happen.
Yeah.
Chance the Red Sox miss the playoffs. Well, I don't know why you put that out there. That doesn't really help the situation.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
He didn't
anymore.
Play week two.
I mean, there's a chance the earth smashes into the sun. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a chance a lot of things that happen. I wouldn't say that it sounds like he's particularly close. He's much nicer with Karen. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he didn't like ask her like a weird follow-up question like he did to Courtney.
How'd it go again with Courtney this morning?
There's a chance.
A good one?
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
Great. Not awkward at all.
That's strange to me.
It's very strange behavior.
And I don't think that's personal to Courtney. I think, and maybe his answer to Karen would fly in the face of this. Maybe it is more personal. I don't know.
Good subject change, though.
Yeah, it's just, he sounds annoyed at the whole situation. He lashed out about Diggs, if you remember, at Phil Perry after Stephon Diggs talked to Diana Rossini. Really, Phil? Really believe? Where'd you go to college, Phil? You really believe that? And so I think there's a little bit of a pattern here, and there are different players in different instances. I think there's a little bit of a pattern where he's annoyed at a situation and he lashes out a little bit. I think that's what went on today. It's interesting. He kind of denied saying, oh, I think there's a chance he's going to play.
You literally said that. That was your answer. Or so we thought. Yeah,
a bunch of times in that exchange.
A chance.
Is what he said.
There's a chance. I wanted to ask.
Morty got a big ring. She knows he's got a rich husband.
Jeez.
Yikes.
All right. Okay.
Odd.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But I don't.
If I had to read it from here, I would say no. He's not gonna play.
I don't think he's playing this weekend. Giardi was on WEEI Afternoons on Friday. He said there was a setback with Gonzalez. It's the first time I've really seen that report. I don't know if it was a report or his kind of understanding of the situation. But if there is a setback, you can put him on IR. If he's gonna miss a chunk, if he's gonna miss 4 weeks, you can put him on IR.
Yeah, that's. Would help the team. You'd have an extra roster spot available, and you would think that's what they would do.
It would help him. It would help. Gonzalez is getting a lot of questions about,
I'm sure you wouldn't ask him about
his effort
week.
And his contract and his involvement. And if you put him on IR, that covers the player. So
it saves us from that awkward exchange between Vrabel and Courtney.
Good point. So if there truly was a setback, put him on IR. He had a setback. You need to dial it back. Have him sit for the first 4 weeks. Instead, he's taking up a roster spot. Mm. He's not practicing in the meantime. The initial reporting was he'd be back for week one. He's not. Mm-hmm. You haven't put him on PUP or IR, which indicates you expect him back in the first 4 weeks. All of it's odd behavior, including his answer this morning with Courtney. He was much nicer with Karen.
He was.
As it turns out.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he just felt bad about how it went this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen to it on the Audacy app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free. Easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. So that's the latest there. Meanwhile, David's in North Providence waiting patiently on the defense. Go ahead, David.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty great.
I got a quick question. Robert, Robert Spillane, he seems like he's missing a lot of tackles. Like, did this guy overrated? And why wasn't Doug playing in the second half? He had a good first half. I'll hang up and listen.
Would you agree Duggar had a good first half?
Honestly, didn't really notice Duggar. I would say Spillane.
The only time I noticed him, he was on one of the big plays. It might have been the touchdown to Waddle. Now, it was Alex Austin, but he was involved on – I just saw him on the field on that play. I don't know if there was a situation where one was handing off to the other. I'd have to go back and watch it. That's the one time I noticed Duggar out there. Spillane hasn't been great. Through two games, Spillane has not been great.
I expected more. In fact, we had him as the preseason defensive player of the team defensive player of the year.
You, in fairness to you, you didn't want to do that.
No, I didn't. I wanted to go with Gonzalez, but to be fair to you, he hasn't played yet.
No, true. So Billy were talking up Robert Spillane. We're like, he's going to be the tone setter on defense. I thought you saw some of it in the preseason. I thought you saw some of it in joint practices and training camp. I thought that's what it's going to be, and he hasn't been that.
He has not.
Now, it's not like teams have run all over them.
No.
They didn't week one, and Achan, almost all of his damage was in the passing game yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's not like teams are running all over them, but, yeah, I don't think he's been great.
No, that's true. Yeah, a lot of Achan stuff was in the pass game, like you said. So, like, it felt like he had a big game, because he did. It just wasn't a lot of it was from running. But, no, they have a lot to clean up, and I don't know exactly how you do that. That's why I wanted to ask Ellis about it, because you're not going to be hitting and tackling all week in practice, right? Like, that doesn't really happen. You're not tackling your own guys and stuff like that. But it's like, all right, on Sunday, go ahead and do it. And then they've struggled with that to this point. But no, I definitely have expected more out of Robert Spillane.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line here for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2:00. They'll be talking to Drake May this afternoon on a Patriots Monday, so stay tuned for it. One thing that when we talked to Christian Ellis, kind of got bumped to the side, is the new kickoff rule. Keith, I'm curious your thoughts on it, given the wildness of yesterday's game. Malik Washington was a punt return. Antonio Gibson was a kick return. But we also saw the wild play in Pittsburgh yesterday. We saw big kicks, or kick returns, rather, the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about the new rule and the NFL getting more returns and, hopefully, as we saw on Sunday, more big returns?
Yeah, so it's funny. I always thought the league was going to eventually just phase it out altogether, but they haven't. And so similar to how they made the extra point more competitive a few years ago, because like for a while there was a stretch where the extra point wasn't even worth watching, and then unfortunately kickoff and kick return wasn't even worth watching. And so the days of Devin Hester or Dante Hall or somebody doing like a crazy return was kind of out. And then even last year they move it up, and now you have like they're like 5 yards apart. So they're like, all right, this will be safer. But then teams were just blasting through the end zone anyway. So I like it. I like a kick return. I like the days of like the elite kick return guy making plays. And you've seen teams kind of tinker with it. Like the Patriots are going with like a lot of running backs, right? We've seen Henderson do it. We've seen Gibson with the return. And I think they feel like the way that the teams line up now, it's almost more like a running play than it would be just like that chaos of guys running 50 yards apart. And
you'd think you almost want like a shifty guy back there, but you're right. Like, it's more like plant and go.
Get through the first wave and then you can go. And that's what Gibson did yesterday. So short answer, I like it. I like more kick returns.
I think that's a good thing to have it be a competitive play and not just a tune out, you know, go to commercial while you go grab a beer or whatever. I think it's been good. And obviously the way it played out for the Patriots yesterday was a good thing for the Pats, with him returning that kick to the house, a big play in the play that won him the game yesterday. So it's a good day to feel good about that rule. The wildness in Pittsburgh with the rookie Caleb Johnson, where he clearly didn't know the rule. And that's the team that's next up for you. Mike Tomlin always has winning seasons.
He does.
Mike Tomlin always has his team dialed in.
We'll see.
Not yesterday.
We'll see.
So that's the next team on the schedule for the Pats in week 3. Here in Foxborough. We'll get to your thoughts again. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. You can dial them up. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. And you got Drake May, quarterback of the New England Patriots, on a Patriots Monday. We'll get you the clip du jour. And it's time for Grab Bag.
And the world's going to know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander.
Grab Bag.
My name is Alexander.
Grab Bag.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Certainly it's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Let's update you on the Bozo Touchdown Parlay. 5 of us here on the show all gave you a player to score a touchdown. Ew. Try to add those up, see how we do.
Yep.
Now, we got shut out week 1.
Yeah.
And so we said we can't do worse.
We did not do worse.
No, we did not. We got 2 out of 5.
Uh-huh.
So we're getting closer.
Who got the 2?
That'd be you and me.
Oh, we did.
That'd be you and me.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah.
All right. So you're saying everybody else is the bozo.
Everybody else is the bozo.
Good to know. Great.
We are not the bozo. Everybody else is the bozo. But we'll be back on Friday for a week 3 of the Bozo Parlay.
We're due for maybe 3 or 4 touchdowns this week.
Chipping away.
We don't want to get them all in 1 week.
We're easing our way into it.
Yeah.
Chipping away.
Yeah.
All the gin joints in all the towns in all the world. She walks into mine.
Grab Bag.
As for the Survivor, now I remember last year our Survivor pool was up in smoke after week 1, week 2.
The whole station was out after week two.
So we're doing our own. The station was like, all right, that worked out so well last year. Why don't you guys do your own?
Sure.
We're all 2-0.
Yeah,
everybody advanced. So yesterday we had 2 Baltimore picks. Jones and Terp took Baltimore. They won. I took Arizona. They won. Billy took the Rams, who won. And then Nick had to wait till overtime, but he got a Cowboys win over the Giants.
So Nick was texting in overtime. What happened if they tied? Do you survive? I think you do, right?
They didn't technically lose, but also didn't technically win.
I think you survive, I believe, in a tie, although I don't. I'd have to check the fine print. I feel better about burning Cincinnati week 1 now that Burrow's out. Like, I feel a lot better about that. I've now burned Cincinnati and Baltimore. But still alive. We're all still alive. Cooking for week three. We'll cook that up on Friday.
All right, here we go. According to Google AI Overview,
oh, nice.
In an NFL survivor pool, what happens with a tie depends entirely on the specific rules of your pool,
well, we didn't
which
think
are
this.
Usually set by the pool commissioner.
Keith?
Well, this is what it says. Next. The most common outcome is that
this.
A tie is treated as a loss, eliminating your entry.
Wow. Well, it didn't end up coming into play.
But,
yeah, but
some pools allow for advancement or have specific tie-breaking rules.
Let's make a rule right now.
So you must check your pool's guidelines.
Let's make a rule right now. Are we going
well, that's why I texted.
Are we going with the common rule? Ties a loss.
Ties out.
Tie, you're out.
Ties out.
All right.
We need winners, not losers. This is like a Mike McDaniel thing.
Yeah.
To win, you need to win.
You barely survived. Yeah, you're lucky, Nick. You're lucky.
All right.
Jones and Keith, grab bag. Jones and Keith, Jones and Keith, Jones and Keith, grab bag. Jones and Keith, grab bag. Jones and Keith, Jones and Keith, Jones and Keith, grab bag.
All right. The Red Sox were able to win yesterday. They are off today, though, Jones. No game for the Sox.
Okay.
They will take on
night off.
The Athletics.
Ooh.
An important three-game series with the A's. Connelly Early will be on the mound on Tuesday. Lucas Giolito will get the second game of the series. And then Brian Bello, which is a day game on Thursday, will be on the mound.
Giolito, by the way, closing the loop, only needs four more innings, so he should be able to get there.
Bello, notoriously not great during the day,
right? He's been better, though.
He's figured that out a little
bit. He started rocky? Okay. I'd have to double check, but I think he's been better of late.
All right, I hope so.
Homeboy, I came to party. Your girl was looking at me. She's a haggler, no, I'm not tagging her, but you don't want them boys to come over and start asking you. What you wanna do?
Grab bag.
What you trying to do?
Grab bag.
What you wanna do?
Grab bag.
All right, I have a wild stat and a trivia question.
Wait, which one is the wild stat? Okay.
Juan Soto of the New York Baseball Mets has a 40 home run, 30 steal, 100 walk season.
Uh-huh.
Those numbers have only been done by two players.
Wait, you're telling me he's done, that's his current season?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Juan Soto.
40, 30, 100. It's only been done by two players?
Two other players.
Yep.
He is the third player to go for, so he's now at 40 home runs even, 32 steals, 119 walks. So only two players besides Juan Soto, who did it this weekend.
Did Bonds do it?
Yes.
Okay, Bonds makes sense.
Yes.
Million walks. I don't know if he got to the 30 steals, but that makes sense.
Yeah, early in his career, he would scoot.
Was A-Rod the other one?
No. Great guess. That was one of my guesses,
Canseco.
Too.
Canseco.
No. No, it's a good guess.
The Babe.
No. I don't think it was a speedster.
30. No, so, I was thinking walks and home runs. Sorry,
what? I don't know if he had the swipes.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get the 30 steals.
I think it's a really tough one.
Okay. 40 and 30. Yeah, how many
40,
guys?
30.
That's even hard to do.
Right. So, yeah,
40, so Soriano 40. Couldn't have walked that much. I'm just trying to think of other guys who put up big numbers like that.
Not,
was it this millennium? Was it like when are we talking about?
90s. Oh, wow. Twitch chat has it. I was shocked that it was this guy. It's not Trout. It's not Betts.
Oh,
it's
Trout,
not Goldschmidt.
Actually, Trout would have been a good guess. It's Bagwell?
Jeff Bagwell.
I never would have got
I think
that.
He did it twice.
Honestly, I feel better about my Babe Ruth guess than the Bagwell one.
Jeff Bagwell scooting around for 30 bags? I'm like, man, I don't remember him like that.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Wow.
I thought maybe
Red Sox shouldn't. I'll say it now. Red Sox shouldn't have traded him. I'll go out on a limb and say it. Yeah.
Should have kept him?
Yeah, they should have held on to him. Yeah.
They could have had Jeff Bagwell. They could have had Babe Ruth and Mookie Betts.
Oh, man.
Not overlapping, necessarily.
They messed up, yeah.
Just in their franchise.
There goes my grab bag. Watch it as it grabs.
All right, Monday Night Football doubleheader. You got any bets you like for Bucks-Texans, where the Texans are favored by 2.5? And then the late game tonight, Chargers-Raiders. Both teams are 1-0, so something's got to give, and the Chargers are 3.5 point favorites. So you got a home dog there in the late game.
Okay. I'll tell you what I like. I don't know what the odds are, so maybe I'm not really going out on a limb here. I'd like a big Nico Collins bounce back. He did nothing week one. We saw what like the Jamar Chases of the world could do.
Yeah.
So I'd expect a big bounce back. Maybe that means anytime touchdown. I imagine that's not like the boldest take, but let me check what the odds are on that. Something like that. I'd expect a big bounce back on national TV for him. Nico for a touchdown plus 135. That's not crazy.
All right.
Something
no,
like that.
I like that. Yeah. That's nice.
Grab bag.
grab bag. Grab bag.
I don't know if you saw this video over the weekend. I think it's a viral video. There was a walk-off in the Milwaukee Brewers game.
I did.
And little Kenny Rosenthal was there to interview the player that had the walk-off. But then, obviously, with like a lot of walk-offs, here comes the Gatorade bath. So Rosenthal tries to get out of the way, right?
And yeah, there's he didn't want to drown in the game.
No, good move.
He's a tiny little guy.
He's not just going to wear it like Aaron Austin. He didn't want it every time.
He didn't want to stand there in the puddle and just, you know, lose his life.
So he does like quick, like he looked like a defensive back. He did like a little back, little scurry, little pedal. Like a hobbit getting away from Mordor. He goes scurrying back, hits the camera guy, who was like crouched down trying to take a photo.
Uh-huh.
And the camera guy falls down. Rosenthal doesn't, but he like gets tripped up a little bit. Rosenthal then turns around. Does he offer him a hand? No. He offered him a very menacing look, like he was about to kick his ass. So all 5'1" of Ken Rosenthal mean mugs this guy who only got knocked over because Rosenthal was like scared of the water.
Yeah.
And then he stares at him like he's going to kick his ass.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here.
It sounds like
we're ganging up on teeny little itty bitty Ken Rosenthal.
No, I'm not. I'm just painting a picture.
But when you get truck stuck by Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah. That's on you?
Yeah, maybe that's on you.
I think
you.
He had bad footing, though. He was crouched down like a catcher.
Yeah, but he's probably still taller than Rosenthal. I'd say that's still, you know, you didn't
he's
need
looking
to.
Looking down at Rosenthal.
You didn't need to go barrel it over.
But, like, all you do, as like a fellow human, we are, as far as I know, all human, right?
Yes.
In this room?
Yeah, you should probably apologize. Or, hey, you all right there, bud?
The interview wasn't going to start without you, Ken.
Yeah.
You can offer a hand to help the guy up. And if you choose not to.
My human mind is telling me to do something.
Or you look at him and you're like, dude, my bad. And then you just like get back to your interview.
Yeah.
Or option three, glare at the guy like he just caused you harm. It was so strange. I watched that clip 10 times.
He has apologized today. Have you seen this?
No.
He said, I felt awful about what happened and I apologized profusely.
No, he doesn't like the backlash.
I'm not sure you did. Yeah,
he doesn't because people are making fun of him so bad today.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
I hope it's not height stuff because that's really not. That's mean.
Be the bigger man.
Yeah.
And we all are.
Thank you. Yeah, we all.
I was born a bigger man than Ken Rosenthal.
Easily are. Yeah.
All right, Rich. Here we go. Background music. Gonna give it away. Abra, abra, cadabra. Let Jones and Keefe reach out and grab bag ya. Jones and Keefe heat up. They can't cool down. The grab bag keeps spinning round and round.
Okay. College football weekend, Jones. We saw Boston College lose late night to Stanford on Saturday.
Not a good Stanford team.
Bill Belichick did get his second win. The Spiders of Richmond were no match for
really,
the
really good Richmond team.
North Carolina
good
Tar Heels.
Yeah.
So they were able to get the better of them.
Uh-huh.
Miami blew out South Florida. No surprise there. Georgia went into Rocky Top and defeated Tennessee in overtime, 44-41.
Balls covered, though. But
good
yes, they did get the win, yep.
And then Texas A&M Notre Dame, crazy game. Crazy finish to that one. Notre Dame's holder couldn't hold an extra point. They showed him like 1,000 times. To the point where, like, I don't really feel bad for most people. But I was like, all right.
Like,
can we ease up on this guy?
You're the Notre Dame broadcast, right? Wasn't it on NBC? You're like, you're the Notre Dame broadcast.
It might have been.
I think it was.
Like every 10 seconds, they would like go back to that kid.
Yeah,
you're
chill
like,
out a
we
bit.
Got it.
Yeah.
He botched the snap.
I'll tell you what, the A&M receivers, and they highlighted these guys a ton too. Reed, the quarterback, meh. But the receivers there are electric. That's a good A&M team.
Yeah, so that was good. So Notre Dame off to a quick 0-2 start as well.
Now this looks like a top for me, so everybody. Just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without...
Grab bag.
The Dallas Cowboys have signed Jadeveon Clowney to a one-year deal. You in on that?
No.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful grab bag.
The New England Revolution fired head coach Caleb Porter.
Today?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, wow. I think so.
How about he was doing wonders.
He wasn't. He's out.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on the outside of the, you look at the MLS table, Jones. I don't know if you pulled up the table.
What's the table looking like?
Out of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, I'm not going to ask you who the teams are because I already know you know this.
Yeah, well, I got that.
They're
sure.
currently 11th.
Ooh.
So they need a little something to...
Honestly, higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
They bring back Bruce?
Yeah. I don't believe
don't think
that's
so?
The,
no,
I don't believe
not,
that's the
not,
case.
That's not going to happen? Okay.
I don't believe
Let's not report
case.
That.
Still don't know exactly
okay.
why he's even gone,
okay.
but we'll get there
Let's
at some point.
Let's not report that. Yeah.
Grab bag.
All right, the weekend box office. There's a movie called Demon Slayer. It looks like it's like a anime type of thing.
Yeah, I saw
$70 million.
I saw some. So I believe it's the highest debuting anime film of all time, or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, I can get you details.
There's also
that.
A gentleman who was arrested for urinating in the film. He was watching the film, peed all over the floor, I guess.
Oh,
and they had to take him out.
Oh, sounds like a good movie.
His mugshot's on TMZ.
He couldn't leave. He couldn't leave the theater. That sounds like a really
Honestly,
good film.
It looks like the least of his concerns. He had, I think, a tough weekend.
It was the biggest opening weekend domestic gross for an anime movie.
It crushed it. So it made $70 million.
Speaking of domestic gross, that guy in the
that
theater.
Guy, that's a problem.
Aye, aye, aye.
Meanwhile, Davey and I are going to review a movie tonight for Dork that made $1.7 million.
Oh?
Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues.
Yeah, no, I don't want to spoil anything.
We're excited. I liked it.
It's. I was going to say, it sounded Tap. Like you gave it good reviews.
I think we were the only ones that saw it. There were $1.7 million?
That's not
Especially
that's not
with the cost of ticket prices now?
Debut, no.
Yeah, so it debuted 9th. It just beat out the re-release of The Sound of Music, which made 1.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, good for that.
Yeah, yeah.
My kids have been listening to those tunes all the time now.
Oh, it's
So
good
Long
film.
Farewell.
It's a good, oh, great one.
They can't get enough of that.
I like So Long Farewell. Yeah. What's the one where they got all the puppets dancing around there?
Good
that's
one
a good
too.
One, too. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's nice.
My, you know, at the end of the year when, like, Spotify or, like, Apple Music, like, tells you
yeah,
what you're
wrapped.
Listening to,
yeah, yeah.
it's going to be all K-pop
Jones
Demon Hunters. No, oh. it's going to be K-pop oh, Demon oh. Hunters and Sound of Music.
Oh, mine will be a lot of K-pop Demon Hunters.
Maybe some yeah. Spinal Tap, too. Work it in. It's pretty. It's yeah. not bad.
Nice. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. The deep
paradise and put up a grab bag. All right, do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
Okay, well, they did lose yesterday 10-2
Ooh.
To the Los Angeles baseball Dodgers. Devers was 0-3 in the game, but he did draw a walk and scored a run.
Oh,
That's
good.
Like his typical line.
Yeah,
like,
it's what he's been doing
walk,
a
run,
lot
0-3
lately.
Walk, run.
They are one game over .500. They're 9 games under since acquiring Devers.
However,
Red Sox still 13 over since dealing away Devers. But however, yeah, what, they're a game and a half out?
1.5 behind the New York baseball Mets.
Mets aren't good. They
no.
have not been good for quite a time. Then.
Although, wait till you hear this Juan Soto stat I got for you. 40-30-100.
Pretty good. Really good.
So the who do you got there for the last? So the Cubs and Padres are basically set. They haven't clinched, but they're basically set.
Who do I have or who am I rooting for?
No. Not yeah. who you're rooting for. So you have Mets, Giants, but
Reds.
Then even the Snakes and the Reds are also in it.
Yeah.
You're gonna say Mets still get in?
No, I think the Giants are going to get in the way it's going.
Probably.
And I am not looking forward to that, but that's how it seems like it's going.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Grab bag. Grab bag. Grab bag.
It was a much needed Red Sox win last night, so let's get to our Hogdale call of the night.
Pitch swung on and lifted by Narvaez, center field high and deep. Center fielder watches it, goes over his head into the stands. A solo shot for the captain. The Sox lead now 6-0. His 14th of the season. Let's go. Will Warren is a dog loser.
Wow.
Let's go.
You know what I also enjoyed about that call is the true side-by-side with the ESPN call. Is that what I heard there?
You
that,
can hear, yeah, you can hear
that
both.
Ravage?
You can hear both calls. Yeah.
That Ravi and Hog
yeah,
on
well,
the call?
Long day. Hog had a long day yesterday.
Will Warren is a dog loser.
I'm sorry, what was oh, that little noise in
he
there?
He got himself a soundboard.
Oh, he's got a soundboard.
He got himself a soundboard.
Oh, welcome to the soundboard
wow.
fraternity.
Wow. I'm so, just one last time. Guy, just get, well, give me that
he
one.
He added.
Was that?
Will Warren is a dog loser.
That's what this has been missing. The soundboard, I'll tell you what, though. When I first got the soundboard brag for the Dork podcast, it can be very distracting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the first several episodes were pretty much just spent on fart noises. I have a whole row of just fart noises. Yep. Like 8 different farts.
It's good.
Some long, some short, some quick. Yeah, well, you need a variety.
It's like 5 minutes long, don't you?
Yes. I also have that one, which is fantastic.
Nice.
So, all right, good stuff there from
great
Hog.
Good job, Hog.
Appreciate that call. Yep. Very good.
Grab bag.
All right, let's find out who the best Major League Baseball performer was from Sunday, September 14th. Jones, was it Mickey Moniak? 4-for-4, 2 home runs, 5 RBI, and 2 steals.
Maybe. Yeah,
was
good
it George
line.
Springer? 3-for-5, home run, 2 RBI, 2 runs. Was it Bo Naylor? 2-for-3, 1 home run, 3 RBI. Was it George Kirby? 6 1/3 innings, 2 earned, 14 Ks.
Wow.
Was it Adam Mazur? 6 scoreless with 4 punchouts.
I don't think it was him.
No, it couldn't have been.
Or
was it Cal Raleigh? 54th home run of the year.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, let's go with George Kirby.
George Kirby.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's.
Random.
George.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, no Red Sox game today, so truly a random player, a player who played for 5 teams in a 12-year career, was a shortstop in the majors. I guess did dabble at second base as well. A middle infielder.
In the majors.
The majors.
Okay, good.
I don't know. I couldn't speak to where he played prior
he
to.
He made it to the
or
show.
After.
Okay.
He did. He was in the major leagues. He played for Colorado, the Cubs, the Giants, the Royals, and the Tigers.
Ooh, I was waiting for the Braves. I was about to guess Walt Weiss, not Walt Weiss.
It's not Walt Weiss. Yeah, yeah. Yep. He never made an all-star team, but it wasn't for a lack of effort because
sounds like Walt Weiss.
He did win a gold glove.
Oh.
He also made just south of $21 million in his illustrious Major League career. He was 11th in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Have we had this guy before?
Maybe.
Royce Clayton?
No.
Oh.
I was going to say Juan Uribe.
It's neither one of those guys.
Okay, neither one. Okay.
I don't think we've had him, but I wouldn't bet my life on it. I'd bet your life on it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
My life
all right, give
it.
Me the era.
All right, broke in 96. His official rookie season was 97. His last season was 2007. He led the league in triples 1 year, had back-to-back 11 triple seasons.
Oh,
most home runs in a year was only 12. Most steals was 13.
Oh,
that was all in the same year.
I was thinking Eric Young Jr., but nope. Okay.
But was a 2000 gold glove winner at shortstop.
Gold glove winner at short.
Text line has it.
Come on, text line.
Twitch chat, something has popped up, and now I can't even
read
the chat.
Twitch chat is currently down in the studio. So if you have
the Zoom meeting ended.
Oh, is that what it is? Credit to you.
Oh, I actually pulled it up here.
Oh, you got it.
And Twitch chat also has it. Yeah.
Anything back there? Not Eric Young Jr. Still, you sure it's not Walt Weiss?
Switch hitter.
Well, that's okay.
From both sides. If you guys were like on the fence about it, to guess.
You left out that. I looked. Clint Barmas?
No.
Oh. Who? Omar Infante?
No, read the top one.
Oh.
And like the fourth one.
Nathy Perez.
He got it!
The Red Sox win!
There's more Clint Barmas.
It's not Clint Barmas. It's Nathy Perez. And that's how you play. Random baseball player of the day.
All right, good stuff, as always.
Congratulations to Nafy.
You're in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. Random ball player each and every day. It's a Patriots.
Good player.
Oh, a real nice player. I almost remembered him. It's Patriots Monday. Make sure you stay tuned to WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got the quarterback of the Patriots, Drake May. And we'll get you the clip du jour. Stay tuned. It's next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEI Jones. It is time for the clip du jour. Are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day, and it's a Patriots Monday, so that means we had a chance to speak with friend of the show and Patriots tight end, Hunter Henry.
Okay, you guys won last week, so you're 1-0 with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. You know we're bringing it back. Let's hit it.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Ali, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised ever, 1 being not surprised at all, how surprised were you when Destiny's Child broke up?
Good Lord, I was young, man. I was so young when that happened.
1 to 85?
1 to 85. Let's go 45.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, more surprised than the ending of The Sixth Sense.
That was surprising.
You didn't have much to say there.
No, yes. No.
Yeah.
That didn't surprise him at all. Destiny's Child, though.
Not to put...
The Destiny's Child breakup was after The Sixth Sense came out.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little bit closer to modern times.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not to put more on Terp's plate. Maybe we need like a weekly graphic of like where everything checks in on
100%
the scale.
We need that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terp, if you can get working on
then
that.
Then at the end of the season, we can really paint a picture of what does, in fact, surprise Hunter Henry, what does not surprise him.
I do like that it seems like 2 weeks in, he needed the reminder again about the scale, but...
It's fine, but he thought about it.
He seemed to have a little more fun with it. A little more fun
and
with it.
And a courteous laugh as well.
A courteous laugh.
He did have a courteous
laugh. That was after what seemed like a very rude laugh earlier in the interview, but he was much more courteous there. So if you missed any of that, that's a man enjoying himself, is what that is. So that's on the Odyssey app. Go check it out if you missed any of it. You can also listen to WEEI Afternoons with Drake May there today. We have Andy Hart with us. What's up, Andy?
First of all, I enjoyed that. I don't know whether that was like resignation, like, oh, these guys are actually going to keep doing this or embracing it a little bit, like consistency is key.
I think he's embracing it a little bit.
Little bit. Like, hey, this really isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Now, he has an interesting barometer. Well,
it is strange.
I look forward to the graphic that Terp will put up later in the year, putting it all on the screen for me. He
doesn't
want to
go too high or too low.
No.
To this point,
like, what does surprise him?
I don't know. We're trying to find out.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now. We're going to find out.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but we got plenty of places we can go with it.
So I look forward to that. We're going to find out how the quarterback feels. 2:15.
Awesome.
After
great game for him.
Have we settled into the best game of his career?
I said that right. Yeah. Far and away.
I thought it was trending toward the best game of his career just on the start. The first couple of drives. You're like, wow, he came out hot. We'll also talk to Marcus Jones at 3:00 here on a Patriots Monday. But yeah, I think there'll be a lot of. Positive takes from that game. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, they needed that. We all bitched about him last week, right? The noise, there's too much on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to express it, but he's got to have a little like swagger to him, like shut up those idiots with this performance kind of thing.
A little bit.
Because he likes humidity, and this will be the last time he'll play in humidity this year.
Yep. Get ready to get your long sleeves out.
Guy likes the warm weather, as he said. So more with WEEI Afternoons with quarterback Drake May.
Yeah.
Along with Marcus Jones on a Patriots Monday. You can dial him up, 617-779-7937. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. And you got Patriots Monday following the 33-27 win yesterday. We're back tomorrow with a Tier Tuesday, with a Tommy Tuesday. We got Kiefer Madness for you tomorrow as well. We'll talk to you at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.